The scripture on which the following sermon is based is Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again, about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." And here ends the reading. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, this is clearly one of Jesus' most offensive parables. Now, he offended the religious elite of the day with some regularity, but this one really gets to us. We've got these people he hires first thing in the morning to come. They do the work. They spend all day in the vineyard in the hot, scorching heat. And at the end of the day, they get paid what they agreed, the usual daily wage, which would have been enough to sustain a family for a day, to buy food. And then, of course, gets more as the day goes on. At the end, he finds his people have been there all day, certainly desperate at that point, to feed their family. Brings them in, they work an hour, they get everything that the first people got. That's kind of offensive, is it not? Certainly is not fair. And the question I found myself asking this week is why? Not why does the landowner do this? The owner of the vineyard, we certainly understand to be God. Jesus is telling a parable about the kingdom. He says that explicitly at the beginning. The kingdom of God is light. And God doles out grace freely to all. Those who deserve and those whom we think maybe don't deserve. The question is, not what is the point of God in the parable, but why are we so offended by it? Well, you'd think we'd all answer, yay, we all get grace. But what gets us, I think, is the readily apparent lack of justice. I think we assume ourselves to be deserving. We are, after all, in church. We're free to get that abundant grace. But I think that it is our jealousy and our envy and our greed that cause us to reflect that maybe somebody else doesn't deserve what we are getting. That's a challenging concept. Justice. Kids get justice. Kids get it from the beginning. They don't know the words. But any first grader knows that the first are not last. The first are first. A meritocracy, as it were. And I remember watching when my kids were little, they'd go up to the bus stop, and there'd be 8 or 10 kids getting on the bus at the same place. And when they arrived, they'd sit their book bag down in order. And that was the order that you used to get on the bus. And I can even remember days where when the bus came, they'd all get up there and pick up their book bags. They, of course, have been running around waiting for the bus. So they get their book bags, and they literally squinch each other up to
to make sure that they were in the right order. The first get on first, because the last are not first. And the first are sure not last. It doesn't work that way. Kids get this. But they feel like they deserve it, of course, because they got there first. Sometimes my kids would even leave early to go up. Now, they enjoyed the running around, but they also wanted to make sure their book bag was first. And I have two kids, so they would be competing with each other to get their book bag first. Because the first gets what they deserve. Now, what about when we don't deserve it? One writer put it this way, said, jealousy is always amassed for fear. It's because we are jealous. We are jealous when others get what we think they deserve. Those others get what we deserve. It says, fear that we aren't able to get what we want. Frustration that somebody else seems to be getting what is rightfully ours, even if we are too frightened to reach for it. Even if we don't deserve it. And I got to tell you, I remember from my own childhood getting this at an early age. When mom would cut the birthday cake, even if it was my brother's birthday, and one of the pieces was a little bigger than another, I wanted that piece of cake. I didn't deserve it. Even if it wasn't a birthday, there's no reason I deserve the biggest one. But God forbid somebody else get it. Because at my heart, I was and am a person of greed and jealousy and envy. So stories like this drive me crazy. And I would suggest that's true for all of us. In fact, it seems that we are actually hardwired to think this way. There's a study done by some researchers with some monkeys. They train these monkeys to go pick up a little chunk of granite and bring it back. And if they brought it back to the researcher within a minute, they got a lovely little slice of cucumber. Not much of a reward, even to the monkeys, but something. So they learned to do this. And all went swimmingly until the reward changed. At one point, the researchers started giving one of the monkeys a grape. Now, we all know that a grape far exceeds the value of a piece of cucumber. And indignation broke out. The other monkeys became furious. At first, they started withholding their labor. They actually wouldn't go get the little rock. And later, they took to throwing away the cucumber. Wouldn't even eat it. They would throw away the stone. It offended their sense of justice. Well, that sounds a lot like us. When pay gets uneven, we cry foul. After all, equal pay for equal work surely means unequal pay for unequal work. It is only fair. Why should somebody else get what I have worked for? God provided models for us. I mean, in this parable, Jesus is being very clear that God is a God of grace, but we're still offended. We don't get why would God do that, so why would I bother doing anything to get the grace? Isaiah, prophet Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. Speaking here on behalf of God. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The point is, we can't know God. We don't know what motivates God. All we know is what we see, that grace abounds, whether we like it or not. Jesus lives it as well. I challenge you to think of a single story where Jesus spent time wanting what somebody else had, being envious of what others had, or thinking that others didn't deserve what he got. Quite to the contrary, he demands of others that they give up what they have in order to follow him. And you cannot give up what you have until you set greed and envy and jealousy aside. Can't be done. If you're still going to long for what others have, whether you deserve it or not, you will not be able to get rid of what you have. Jealousy and envy and greed are not the ways to God. Grace is free, but it is not cheap. The acceptance of grace demands of us to serve others, knowing that we are recipients of grace, whether we have worked all day in the vineyard or just that last hour. We come to know that grace of God, and it places demands on us. We are not earning our grace, but grace makes it incumbent upon us to respond to God by serving God's people. And ultimately, that offer of free grace, I believe, when we set away all those things that cloud our relationship from God, ultimately, that free grace is transformative. There's a great story by Victor Hugo, many of you are familiar with, Les Miserables. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen the musical. Anyone here read the book? I am currently working on it. It's nearly 1,500 pages. I am somewhere around 1,000 pages into it, so I feel like I'm just getting into it. I only have 500 pages left. But it's a remarkably good book. I love the musical. But the beauty of it is that the main character, Jean Valjean, he is convicted of a crime early on, a small crime, stealing some bread in order to feed his nephew. And yet he is put in prison, and after trying to escape a few times, he spends 19 years there. When he gets out, he's bitter, he's angry. But there's a bishop, a kind-hearted bishop, who takes him in. And he lets him spend the night. Well, when they have dinner that evening, he gets out the good silver plates, beautiful silver plates. So Jean Valjean, this convict who can't so much as get work because he is an ex-con, and who is looked down upon and treated terribly by the other members of the community, this person sits in front of these silver plates and gets thinking to himself. In the middle of the night, he lives it out, and he steals the plates, and he runs. Now he gets caught. He's caught by the police, and the police bring him back to the bishop's house. Turns out Valjean had told the police that these plates were a gift. Well, the police say, we'll get this squared away. And they get to the bishop's house. The bishop not only affirms that they were a gift, which they were not, he also says, you know, sir, I intended to give you these silver candlesticks as well, and you forgot them. So please, the plates and the candlesticks are yours. There is this free grace, and the entire rest of the story begins from there, even though that's probably 150 or 200 pages in. The story starts there, and it's a story of redemption, it's a story of response to the grace that is offered by this bishop. He takes that silver, he takes the plates, and he sells them and begins to do good works. And he looks after others, and he saves many. But it came with responsibility. This grace transformed him and came with responsibility. The bishop said to him, Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil, but to good. It is your soul that I am buying for you. I withdraw it from dark thoughts and from the spirit of perdition, and I give it to God. I would argue if he had only found these candlesticks in the woods somewhere, they would not have been transformative. They would have just been money. But they were given to him. Now this is fiction, but in the story, they came from God and they transformed him. When we set aside our greed and our jealousy and our envy of others, our sense that they're getting something that we deserve, when we set that aside and understand that this is a free gift from God, we are transformed. That's the message of this parable. Amen.